Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. I know our numbers are down, both with the weather and several families with sick children, and they need to be at home, and that's exactly where they need to be, so be praying for them. But we're glad you're here. This morning when I got out of my truck, the chimes were playing Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It, Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Oh, we praise the Lord for the fact that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. Appreciate Miss Tonda and Mr. Lionel for replacing Leonard this morning. We're glad that you're in the Lord's house. Anybody that's listening later on the website, anybody that's listening out in the parking lot, we're so glad that you're a part of the service this morning. May we pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus told us a long time ago that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. And so, Father, there's many more than two or three here. We thank you that you're here. Lord, you know the needs of our hearts, the needs of the church. And Father, I pray that today, through your grace, your mercy, your love, all of these needs will be met. And Father, I do pray for those that are dealing with sickness this morning. Dear Father, There's an anxiety that goes with having a sick child. And I lift up these parents as they deal with their sick children. And Father, others with various illnesses and problems. May your presence fill their homes. Touch them with a special touch. Lord, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all that takes place here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Let's start our service with Worthy of Worship. We had that discussion first thing in Sunday school this morning. Mr. Greg asked us, why were we here? We said, to worship. Always worthy of worship. And I guess, Jeff, we're tuned for three verses.
Yep.
All three? Good. Stand with me, please.
Thank you.
Good morning. How is everyone? Warm? It's nice to be in a warm building, isn't it? Today, Barber's Grove. No evening services this evening. So you can do what we're supposed to do on Sunday, and that's rest, as we were told this morning in Sunday school. Wednesday evening, we'll have our regular adult Bible study. And I'd like to encourage any of you that have been coming and continue to come. And if you haven't been coming, you should come. That's my advice for you today. Next Sunday, January the 19th, we will have our regular quarterly conference coming up after the worship service. And then the following Sunday on the 26th of January will be Baptist Men's Day. Mr. Jeff, you have something you want to add there?
If I can, I'd like to meet the Baptist men have a competition.
Okay. We'll give you that opportunity, Jeff. So, you men, please.
We want everybody to come, too.
Okay. Yeah, it's an important day coming up on the 26th. We Baptist men. And I see here in the bulletin that we will start out with breakfast at 8. And so if you like to eat, that's another good reason to be here. So please make plans for that. Any additional announcements need to be made at this time for anyone? Yes, Rosina. Thank you, Rosanna, for leading. Appreciate that. Any other comments, announcements? Okay. If not, we'll take time now to turn our attention to the prayer needs today. And I will bring an update. Miss Betty Davis has had a fall and stroke. And Tonda, do you want to bring us up to speed on that as you did in Sunday school? Thank you, Tonda. Also, Leonard's wife, Donna, fell and broke her wrist in the home inside and got that taken care of Saturday morning after she fell Friday. And no, Leonard didn't push her. I did get clarification on that, just so that don't misquote me on that, please. But remember not only Donna, but the caregiver there as well. I told him, I said, you're a great caregiver. He said, I try. So we're grateful for that. Other prayer needs, reports, praise reports. Thank you for that good report. Anyone else? Lori? Okay. Anyone else? I would like to add a name, a good friend of ours. Her name is Kelly Jordan. She's 40 years old, just been diagnosed with multiple areas of cancer in her body. No forewarning, she's stage 4. And please remember Kelly. and her husband Jason. They live in Charlotte, good friends of ours. They're victims, many victims. We still have victims in the mountains, many victims on the West Coast now. And just remember those and all those that are the caregivers there, whether we fight a fire or trying to provide a warm residence for someone to live in. We're blessed to have warm homes and the families and friends that we have here and the church family that we have. I'm grateful for that. And I want to say a special thank you for all the prayers that's been lifted up for our family. It's meant a lot. And I praise God for the strength that he's given our family in this hardship. Anyone else before we pray?
I have a word of praise.
Yes, Jim.
Two of my great-grandchildren are being baptized today. Last Sunday, they received Christ as the Lord and Savior.
Amen. Anyone else?
Well,
yes, ma'am. Okay, also there's sickness in the Harpswell and Snyder family, I understand. So we're missing those faces there on those rows. Yeah. Okay. Nothing else. Let's take time now and join me as we pray, please. Father, first of all, we want to thank you for allowing us to be alive and breathing and to be here. Many can't be, Lord, and we want to recognize those at this time, Father. Father, we'll start out with just asking for to heal our hearts and our spirits this morning, Lord. May we come into this time that we would worship, as we discussed earlier in Sunday school, Father. Why are we here, Father? Let us turn our focus and our eyes upon you and the promises that you give us, Lord. I ask that you be with Ed, Father, as he delivers the message, Father. You speak through him that it may enter our hearts and we may be actively involved in doing things that we should be doing for others, Father. It's not about us. And Father, now we want to list those up. It's been mentioned on our prayer list here, Father. And first of all, I want to give you praise for the good report on Deanne Honeycutt and also on these two grandchildren, Father, that are going to be baptized. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the lives that has been spared in the mishaps that's happened in the mountains or on the West Coast. We pray for those that have lost lives, Father. Also, we want to thank you, Lord, that you've been able to sustain Betty Davis and keep her here, Father. And if it be your will, Father, continue to heal her, be with her, be with the family, be with the caregivers. And also, we want to pray for the sicknesses that are going around, Father, for Christine, that you be with her, Father, and give her comfort this day. And for Donna, help heal that wrist, Father. And for the sickness in the families of the children, whether it be the parents or the children, Father, in the hearts of the Snyder family, we pray for them. We also pray for traveling mercies, Father, for those who are traveling, especially Lori right now. And Father, for those that are diagnosed with sickness, like Kelly Jordan, Father, and there's so many now that this horrible thing called cancer is affecting, Lord. It takes lives. But Father, we just pray that there would be hope and there would be a healing, Father, whether it be physical, mentally, or spiritually, Father. We pray that you'd be with them at this time. Father, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for providing the help that you give us each day, Father. Now be with us for the continuing part of this service, that we may receive your blessings, Father, and pass those on. In your Son's name, Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Let's stand together again, and blessed be the name. If you want your hymn, it's the book, it's 206. I have to depend upon it with my screen back there. But beautiful song. Blessed be the name. All four verses, right, Jeff? Okay, thank you.
everybody here that's old enough does remember the day that Jesus washed your sins away. Amen. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and made sure you were going to heaven. I could take you over to West Alabama Baptist Church in the sanctuary. They've outgrown the sanctuary and meet now in the other building, but in the sanctuary, I sat right about where Pam and Miss Birdie used to sit that Sunday morning when I walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus publicly as my Lord and Savior. Never forget it. It's been over 70 years. A long time. But I thank the Lord that He saved me. You know, I never was in the military. But I assume that the modern military communicates a lot with cell phones and other types of phones and radios and maybe in a lot of ways that I don't even know about. But you know, it wasn't always that way. If you go back for thousands of years, even up to perhaps the World War I era, the military many times communicated with a trumpet or a bugle. You know the way it worked? You got the commander right here that's over all the forces, and right beside of him is a guy with a bugle or a trumpet. And if he wants to assemble troops, he says to the bugler, and the bugler plays a certain song. If he wants to assemble the troops armed for battle, maybe the bugler plays a little different tune. When out on the battlefield, if he wants to play charge, he plays a different tune. I remember those old Western movies whenever the cavalry would come over the hill and the bugler was going, you know, and they were about to chase the bad guys off the scene. And if the battle wasn't going well, the bugler played retreat. And I'm sure there are probably a few other commands that I know there was reveille to get them up in the morning and taps to play at night. And everything was communicated. If you go back to the days of Joshua, with a bugle or a trumpet. And over the years, it was that way. Now in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, it says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle?" In other words, Paul is saying, listen, if the trumpet plays a tune that nobody recognizes, they don't know whether to go to bed, get up, assemble, prepare their weapons, charge or retreat. They don't know what to do because the tune that's being played is not familiar. It's interesting that today Christianity is exploding, growing tremendously in certain parts of the world. I remember at one of the missions conferences that I attended there in the church in Oklahoma, a young man came in. He was a pastor of a church in Brazil. And his church, you know, had a little sanctuary that held about 300. And he said, "We've outgrown it so much, we need a bigger sanctuary, and I need $50,000. And they passed the hat and came up with 60 and gave it to him. Well, the next year he's back and said, "Our building's too little. The 600-seat auditorium was too little." The church was growing tremendously. But yet, we look around, it's not that way in America. Churches aren't growing, many of them. There's a few, but not many. Some are closing their doors. In the last 10 years, how many bona fide, unsaved, lost adults have shown up at Barbie's Grove. Now, we don't talk about children because, you know, till they get to the age of accountability, they're not responsible. But how many real adults or even young adults that don't know Jesus have shown up? Now, I remember years ago, you know, going to the revivals at West Albemarle, there'd always be some real, genuine, unsaved people. We knew there's a community drunk, or this was a community person that was a problem, and they didn't plan on getting saved, but they thought, you know, if I go to church, I might. And many times they went to church and didn't get saved. But almost always at those revival services, they were unsaved adults. But that's just not that way anymore. What's the problem? What's the problem? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? I think part of the problem is that in America, people who say they're Christian are blowing too many different tunes. People that say they're Christian, I'm not talking about people that say they're Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or whatever, but people that say they're Christian are blowing too many different tunes. Now, if you can just imagine a football stadium with 100,000 people there and maybe more because you fill up the playing field with more seats. Maybe you've got 120,000 people there and they're all unsaved. And various folks that say we're Christian come to the platform and tell you what a Christian is. In a sense, they blow their tune. And see if it's not confusing. The universalist gets up there and says, everybody's going to be saved. Don't sweat it. One of the liberals gets up and says, I agree with that universalist. And it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, an agnostic, a Muslim, or whatever. You can go to heaven. Another liberal gets up there and says, the Bible is out of date. God didn't know what he was talking about. His thoughts weren't important. You might get a little enlightenment and a little inspiration from it, but you can't base your life on it. Another gets up there and says, all those things in the Bible that are called sin, they're not sin. They're just alternate lifestyles. They don't pertain to us today. Our education and our enlightenment has shown that they're really not a problem. Another says, all roads lead to heaven. And then you get a conservative that gets up and says, no, wait a minute. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus. Now let me make a little, this conservative says, now let me make a little addition to that. There are no more miracles. I know there are miracles in the Bible, but there are no more miracles. Then another conservative gets up and says, oh yes, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's the only way to heaven. But there still are miracles. So you can believe in miracles. Then you get a fundamentalist that gets up and said, oh, yes, yes, yes. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But You remember the Judaizers in the Old Testament? I mean, in the New Testament? They'd come around and say, the grace that Paul preaches is wonderful, but in order to be a real Christian, you've got to be a good Jew. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the Jewish rituals. You've got to keep the Jewish special days. Just accepting Jesus isn't enough. And many of the fundamentalists today would say just accepting Jesus isn't enough. I mentioned this a little bit last week, but you know, you women have got to have long dresses, not cut your hair, not wear makeup or jewelry, and you got to have a King James Bible. I was on TV watching a service on TV sometime in the last 3 months. And it was a big church. I mean, it looked like maybe it'd hold 3,000. And the preacher said, if you show up here with anything other than the King James Bible, I'm running you out of here. I'm thinking, well, they're all translations. Some of them are better than others. I love the King James. You know, I'm preaching from the King James Bible. But I've got some other copies of different translations. And then, of course, then the Calvinist gets up and says, now, wait a minute, folks. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Some of you are going to go to hell and some of you are going to go to heaven and you don't have any choice. God picked it out and picked out where you're going before you were born. Even if you don't want to go to heaven, you're predestined to heaven. God's going to make sure you get there. And if you're predestined to hell, it doesn't matter how much you want to be saved. You're lost. Isn't that confusing? And that poor lost person sitting out there saying, now wait a minute. Who's right? Who's right? And then let's bring it down to the individual level. Like in the community where I live. And you got this lost person living right here. And over here on this side of him is a guy that says, I'm a Christian. But he never goes to church and has an ungodly lifestyle. Over on this side is another guy that says, I'm a Christian. Very piously, he puts on his Sunday go to meeting vest and he goes to church every Sunday morning. And then he comes home and he abuses his wife and kids. He watches porn on his computer, and he's having an affair with somebody down at work. And then across the street is somebody else that says, I'm a Christian. And he goes to church every Sunday, and he comes home, and he's loving and kind to his wife and his kids, and he's helpful to those in the community, and he's living a godly, moral life. And this poor lost person said, he says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. He says he's a Christian. What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? The point I'm making is this. There's a lot of uncertain sounds being blown on a lot of trumpets by a lot of people that say they're Christian. Well, now in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33, it says this. For God is not the author of confusion. All of these uncertain sounds aren't from God. There's some folks that aren't listening to the commander. I have no right to get up here and say anything that didn't come from God. Now, I'm not perfect. I'll miss it. But I have no right to say anything that's not backable. Man, that's not a good word, from God's word. And if it's not in God's word, I don't care if Dr. So-and-so down at the psychiatric clinic says it's okay. I don't care if Dr. So-and-so that's over there at the Department of Education says it's okay. I don't care if some theologian says it's okay. If it's not, if you can't back it up by the word of God, it's not right. And I've got no right to blow any trumpet but what's in God's word. And yet, it's obvious from all of these different scenarios I've just shared with you, that there are folks that are blowing tunes, and it's confusing to the lost world. They're looking at us and saying, who really is a Christian? What really depicts a Christian? This person says he's a Christian. This person says he's a Christian. This person says he's a Christian. This theologian says this, and this person's on the radio or on the TV and in the newspaper saying this, that, and the other. And who is a Christian? What's real? And I think a lot of lost people have just sort of washed their hands of the whole matter because they're looking for somebody that's genuine. They're looking for somebody that's real. What should be our response? We need to do a lot of praying. We need to pray for these people that are, say they're Christian, but live like lost people. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for people who are misguided about what they really believe. We need to pray for them. But let's look at three passages of Scripture that should be our individual response. Go with me first to Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua, you remember Joshua took over from Moses, led the children of Israel into the promised land, led them as they conquered the promised land, distributed the, divided up the land between the various tribes. Now Joshua is near the end of his life and he's about to lay down the responsibilities. In Joshua 24 verse 14, he says, he's assembled all of the people. In verse 14 of Joshua 24, he's making a last speech to them. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I'm going to serve God. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to guide my family in a godly manner. I'm going to see that God is supreme in my family, no matter what anybody else does. Now, I can't be responsible for your family. I can preach to you, and I can teach you, and I can guide you, and I can counsel you, but you and make a choice. I have to make my choice. And you have to make your choice. Is your family, you individual and your family, going to live for Jesus? Not live according to what some theologian says, some doctor of philosophy or something says, but are you going to live for Jesus? Are you going to really, really live for Jesus? Are you going to choose to live for Jesus? Joshua says, I can't decide for you guys, but I can decide for myself and my family. And it's so easy today for Christians to get sidetracked and saying, well, you know, my neighbor over here says he's a Christian, he does this, and my neighbor over here says he's a Christian, he does it, and get sidetracked and live for the devil. What is it Paul says in Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, but transformed to the renewing of your mind. It's easy, if we're not careful, to allow the world to begin to sway us in certain directions. And we begin to accept it. We begin to go along with it rather than saying, no, wait a minute, I don't participate in that. I don't want anything to do with that. I choose to follow Jesus. Second thing, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We make a choice. We make a choice that we're going to follow Jesus and Him alone. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus says, listen. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Live it. Live it in such a way that you bring glory to the Father. Not glory to yourself, but glory to the Father. They see the life that you live and they glorify God. They see the life that you live and they glorify God. Well, how do you do that? Turn to John 15. John 15. And we'll start at verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The way we can live a life that glorifies the Father is to stay closely connected to Jesus. There's no other way. You see, that bugler or that trumpeter had to stay right beside of that commander basically 24/7. He couldn't get on his horse and go riding off somewhere else because he might be needed at any particular moment to blow a certain tune to assemble the troops. He had to stay close to the commander. And that's God's will for you and me. To abide in Jesus. And he uses illustration of a grapevine with you, the trunk that comes out of the ground providing the nutrients to the branches. And he says, we're the branches. We bear the grapes on the basis of the nutrients we receive from the vine. And if we're not close to the vine, we're not abiding in the vine, we're going to bear no fruit. And you see, when all of the world, well, I won't say all the world, so much of the Christian world is out here saying a lot of stuff that is really not Christian. And having people confused, they need to see some genuine Christians. They need to see some genuine men and women of God who are bearing the fruit of Jesus, who are living in such a way that their lives honor Jesus, so that if they walk by our caskets someday, they can say, that's a real man of God. That was a real woman of God. Or if they're just talking about us, down at work or across the breakfast table, that's a real man of God. That's a real woman of God. If you go back one chapter in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 14, verse 12, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. When we abide in Jesus, when we obey the word, when we live in a demonstrated power of God, we'll make a difference. May the trumpet that you sound in your life give a clear sound to a lost world. That's God's will for us. Like Joshua, I can't speak for you, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Would you close your head, close your eyes and bow your heads for one moment? Be honest. Are you sounding a clear sound that says, this is the way to heaven? You know, Paul could write to some of his churches and say, be imitators of me as I follow Jesus. If others live the life that you're trying to live, would it point them to Jesus? This time we're going to have an invitation. If there's someone that needs to accept Jesus Christ, somebody needs to come to the altar talk, somebody needs to become a member of our church in some way, we invite you to come as we sing. Father, so help us to live that others see Jesus in us. Oh, Father, please let others see Jesus in us. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.